Today we are going to study from Book of Psalms 65. Book of Psalms 65, and we'll read first verse. We'll go verse by verse.
Great will for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed.
Now David is saying to God, I'm going to go to Zion, means Jerusalem. I'm going to go to Tabernacle. And I'm going to fulfill my vows, my promises. We'll give sacrifices. And I'll do praising for you. That means in advance, I will praise God and wait for you to answer. What he is trying to say, before you get the God's blessing, you have to praise him. You have to thank him. You have to glorify his name. And whatever the promises you made, you fulfill those promises, then God will answer your prayer. So he's telling from his own experience, I go to the tabernacle, I fulfill my vows, and my praise will be waiting for the God to answer me. Verse 2. Now here he's saying, you are a prayer answering God. And because our God is a prayer answering God, he says, all the flesh, means all the people, will come to you. Now when you say our God is a prayer answering God, that means people are thinking anybody can pray and God will listen. God can listen sinners' prayer only when they confess their sins and ask God to forgive their sins, that the prayer he will answer. It's Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Please read. If you are sinners, your prayer will not be answered.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot hear, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear.
So, if you want God to answer your prayer, you have to give your heart to the Lord, ask God to forgive your sins, and if your heart is clear, then God will hear our prayer. Jesus Christ is the only one, did not commit any sin. He was always listening to his Father, and when Lazarus was dead, he went there and he said, Lord, you hear me all the time. Please read John Chapter 11, verse 42.
And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me.
Now here it says, I know that thou hearest me always. That means Jesus Christ was saying, I always pray to you, and you answer my prayer all the time. But we just read, if you are a sinner, your prayer will not be answered. But once we are born again, children of God, God will listen our prayer. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, please read.
And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
See, if you keep his commandment and do the things which is pleasing in his sight, and then you pray, God will answer your prayer. So now David is saying, because you are a prayer answering God, all the flesh, all the people will come to you. Verse 3.
And if these prevail against me, and for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away.
Now he is saying the sin, iniquity is sin. The sin will overtake me, means I have no power to resist the sin. So sin will take over me. Now he's talking two different ways. He says, my sin will take over me means I have no control over the sin. So I'm a sinner, but one day will come, God will purge away our transgression. Now, if you see the Jewish people, our Old Testament people, or the people who were under the law, their sins never, never cleanse away or purge away. Their sins only can cover. But when Jesus Christ came into this world, died on the cross of Calvary, washed our sins away. We'll read a couple of verses. Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2, please read.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Okay, now, this man is blessed. His sins are covered. Okay, number 2.
Man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
Now, this another man, God says, I don't see any sin on you, and there is no iniquity, there is no sin in you, and your spirit, there is no sin, no guile, you are perfect. How it works? First man's sins is covered, the second man's sins is completely washed away. So that's what happens once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our sins will be completely washed. I'll give a couple of verses. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 to 14, please read.
Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if by the blood, for the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer sprinkled the unclean, sanctifies the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
See here, two things he's saying. The Old Testament people, their sins, their outwardly sins are covered or forgiven. But for the believers, even our conscience are cleansed to worship the living God. Let's read the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4 and verse 10.
For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
See, first we read the blood of bulls and goats will never take away your sins. Their sins will cover and remain. Each time they commit sin, their sins will be uncovered. But when the blood of Jesus Christ washes you, you are completely clean and there is no sin in you. Let's read the 1 John chapter 3, verses 6 and verse 9.
Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God.
See, if you are born again, child of God, you cannot commit sin, means you cannot practice sin. Sometime by mistake you will do it, but you cannot practice sins because if you are a born again child of God, not only that, devil has no power over you. What David was saying, you know, I cannot control, the iniquity will take over me, and someday God will purge our sins. But by the grace of God, God has given us power. When you are born again, children of God, devil has no power over us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, please read.
We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not.
So wicked one is the devil. It says if you are born again, child of God, you will not commit sin. Some people are saying, oh, I cannot help it, and I'm committing sins. Why? Because they are not born again. They don't have the Spirit of God. They don't have Spirit of Christ in them. They don't have Holy Spirit. So they yield to the sin. But here the Word of God says, if you are born again, child of God, you will not commit sin. Not only that, the devil will not come, and he will not touch you. He will not harass you, because you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not only that, Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 says, we are hidden in Christ and God. So when we are hidden, devil cannot come and touch us. Okay, let's go back to our chapter. Psalm 65, verse 4.
Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple.
Now here David is saying about the man is blessed, that God has chosen that man. And when the man is chosen, then God causes that man to come and dwell in the courts. Means he's talking about the tabernacle courts. And he says, we shall satisfy with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. Now, the psalmist or David, he doesn't have the revelation that Jesus Christ will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in heaven, and they will be Father's throne and they will be Christ's Son's throne. He had no idea. Sometimes David said, I'll be happy to the gatekeeper of the God's house. So he has no revelation about that. But what he's trying to say here, God chooses person, and that person he chooses and he causes him to dwell in the courts. Now God, how God chooses people, Matthew chapter 5 verse 6, he said, Jesus Christ says, if you are hungry and thirsty for the righteousness sake, then you will be satisfied. That means if you are hungry and thirsty for God, then you will meet God. God will take care of you. Read. And then read 1 Corinthians chapter 1.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Yes, if you are hungry and thirsty for God, doesn't matter you are Hindu or Muslim or Jewish, or you are in a jungle or wherever and nobody's saying anything, but if you are hungry for God, God will make a way that you will get saved someday. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and read from verse 26 to 30. Hear God's choice, how God chooses people.
For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence.
Okay, now here it's saying, with the God choice, no flesh can be glorified that I am smart, that's why God chosen me. I am rich, that's why God chosen me. I was so spiritual, that's why God chosen me. God says, no flesh should glorify in his presence. And let's read the verse 30.
But of whom are ye in Christ Jesus, where God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
But what he's saying, when you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what God does, he gives you wisdom, he gives you righteousness, he sanctifies you, and he redeems you. That's the way God's choice is. You see, it's the humble heart, and when the person is humbly searching God, God says, okay, I'm going to choose you, and when you are in Christ, God gives you everything. You have nothing lacking. We learn the God's choice, and here, he says, when God chooses the people, they will be in the courthouse. And then he says, we will be satisfied with the goodness and thy house, even thy holy temple. Now, I was telling David did not have the revelation how the God's house works, how God's blessings works. Now, he's talking about the courthouse. Now, for example, when the temple was built, or even the tabernacle was there, only people can come to the court. All Israeli people can come to the court, but only high priest and priest, they are allowed to go to the holy place and the most holy place. The high priest will be going, so all the ordinary people will be in the courtyard. So David is saying, I will be satisfied with the courtyard. So he doesn't have the revelation that Jesus Christ will make us bride and we will be sitting with the Christ on his throne. So I'll tell you where the Old Testament people thinking they will be going. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 17, but you can read only 15 and 16. We don't have time.
Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat.
Now, these are the people will be in front of the tabernacle and worship the Lord. Revelation chapter 15, verses 2 and 3.
And I saw there were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints.
Now all these people are standing in front of God's temple, and there is a place like a sea of glass, many hundreds and thousands of people standing, taking the palms in their hand and singing the song of Moses. Those people represent the Old Testament people. They are in the old or the original heaven where the God's throne is and where the God's temple is. But the children of God, for the born-again children of God, read the Revelation chapter 1, verse 6.
And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Now see, even though David was a king, but he says, I'll be satisfied with the courts of God and temple of God and the presence of God in heaven. But here the word of God saying, we are born again children of God. We are the kings and priests. We will be kings and priests on earth as well as in heaven. Read the Revelation chapter 3, verse 12.
He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name.
Now these are the born-again children of God who are the bride of Christ. They are not only standing in the courtyard, but they are going in the temple. He said, you will be pillar of the temple. That doesn't mean they will be like a solid metal or something. Pillar of the temple means you will be a very important person in the temple. You can come in the temple, you can go in the temple, and you will be in Jerusalem. And so we are children of God, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are the bride of Christ, so we have a better place. But the David and all these other Old Testament people, they will be satisfied going to the temple, worshiping the temple, and looking at the temple. And he says, even thy holy temple, they will be happy and joyful. Okay, let's go back to our chapter, Psalm 65, verse 5.
On terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off upon the sea.
Now here it says, by terrible things in righteousness, but is in other Bible it says, by awesome things in righteousness will thou answer us. Means our God is an awesome God, he's a righteous God, and he answers everything what we need. So he said, O God of our salvation, who are the confidence of the all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off of the sea. So he's saying, you are our God, you listen to our prayer, you are righteous God, you're doing wonderful works, and you have already saved us, and we have confidence that many other people in the world, all around the world, even the far off the sea, those people also will be saved. Now, he didn't know what's going to happen because the Jewish people were not able to go and tell the whole world about God. But when Jesus Christ came, even though he sent his disciples to preach the word and heal the sick and raise the dead, what he said, don't go to the heathen places. Go to the lost sheep of Israel. And that's the way he sent the people. And then he says, I will send you the Holy Spirit, and then you will be my witnesses, starting from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the world. When Jesus Christ came and gave his life for mankind and redeemed us, and we got saved, And now he made us his disciples. And now we are going around the world and telling about Jesus Christ. Jesus means the Savior. There is no other Savior in the world. So if you have a Hindu friend or Jewish friend or any other friend, do not hesitate to tell these people there is no other God, there is no other Savior. Jesus is the only one. Read the Acts chapter 4, verse 12.
Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
There is no other name. Only one name, that's a Jesus name. And because of that name, today, around the world, people are worshiping Jesus Christ. There is not a single place in the world today that they do not know Christ. Muslim people, they did not want Bible in their country. But now in Muslim country, people are born again, Christians, and worshiping Jesus Christ. China didn't want any Bible coming to their country. Many Chinese people, almost 50% Chinese are Christian, but they are persecuted. North Korea, they don't want any part of Christianity, but there are still Christians there. India, they didn't want any Christianity, but there are Christian people in India. So there is not a single country without Christ. And so everywhere the word of God is preached, what David was saying, that all around the world people will listen and they will have confidence on Jesus Christ. And his prayer was answered. Okay, let's read verse 6, 7, and 8.
He by his strength set his sons, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice.
Now here, David is talking about the God's power. He said, God, with his strength, he created mountains, and he settled the mountain with his power. But God just speaks the word and it happens. God doesn't have to make a mountain and push it there and hold it there and tight so it will not move. But he is saying, by the strength of God, it happens. And then verse 7, it says, God can stop the noise of the sea and the noise of the waves and the tumult of people. Means he said God has power to quiet the sea and quiet the noise of the sea. Not only that, the people make lots of noise. He can stop their grumbling or fighting and everything. It happens in the Old Testament when the people were saying, Israeli people came out of Egypt and they were saying, you know, the Egyptians are coming. There is a sea in front of us. The mountain on side where we can go. But Moses says, see the salvation of God. And the sea was open and they went through the sea and people were not fighting. They were singing and dancing. We will be reading a little later. So it happened in the Old Testament. And the New Testament also, Jesus Christ showed his power on the water and the sea. He walked on the water. He calmed the sea. And he rebuked the sea. Well, we'll read the one verse. A story in Matthew also, but I like Mark. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Please read.
On the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side.
Now here Jesus Christ saying, we are traveling, we have to go from this land, go through the sea, and go to the other side of the sea, and there we will land there. This was the command. See what happened.
And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships.
Now here, Jesus, here the word of God is saying, Jesus said, now we are going to go other side, and there are small little boats following, and these people's boat might be a little bit bigger, because it might be have a first floor, second floor, and basement, or whatever. So, see what happens.
There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?
So now here, this is the first time we saw Jesus Christ was tired and weary as a human. He's a fully God and fully man, But now he is sleeping on the pillow. And where he is sleeping is a bottom of the boat. And these people are on the top. And now the ship is sinking, and they're thinking they are going to die. But see what Jesus Christ said, we are going to go to other side. When Jesus says you are going to go to other side, that means you will go other side. You will not drown. They didn't have that kind of faith. And what they're saying, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now we're thinking, when they perish, Jesus Christ sleeping, he will perish also. But they didn't have faith. If the Jesus Christ is in your boat will not sink. Your boat, you will not drown, but you will be safe. But see, they were not having that kind of faith. Let's read a little bit further.
And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm.
See, this is what the David saying. God has power to still the noise of the seas and the waves and the tumult of people. See, these people were grumbling and murmuring. Their mouth was shut. Not only that, the calm was in the sea and everything was settled because Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God himself. He had the power and he calmed the sea. And see then what Jesus said to these people.
And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?
He said, you are fearful and you have no faith. So what David says, it happened in the Old Testament and it happened in the New Testament. Let's go back to the Psalm 65 and verse 8.
They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice.
Now he's saying, at the most part of the world, people are afraid of you because of thy token. Token means science and wonders and miracles you did. And when people see your science and wonders and miracles, he's talking about heathen and other people, they are afraid of God. But at the same time, when the hurricane comes, the rain comes and all kinds of disaster comes, but when the sunshine comes, so the sun rises, people are happy. In India, some of the people, when the sun rises, they go and worship the sun god. They are very happy the sun came up. And some people are happy when the sun sets. You'll see so many Americans, they go to the seashore and see the sun is setting. So he says, when they see signs and wonders and miracles, people get scared. But when they see God is in control, the sun comes or sunset comes, they rejoice. Okay, let's go back to our chapter and start reading from verse 9 to 13.
Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn, but thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing.
Now, this is the poetic language David is using. Now, when there is no rain for 3 years or 3.5 years, and all of a sudden rain comes, so their people get very glad and very happy. He said, thou visited the earth. That means the earth might be barren. No fruit, no vegetable, nothing was coming. And he said, God visited the earth. And what happened? He watered greatly. And he says, just like a river of God, when the God has a water storage in heaven. You remember the time of Noah? The water came pouring from heaven and from earth. So God has the storage of water, the snow, and ice, because he doesn't have any ice making machine or snow making machine. He has the storage. So he said the water comes from heaven like a river of water. And then when water comes and he provides the water, and what happens? All the ground is very hard. When they plow, big, big chunk of mud comes like a stone. But he says what he does with the water, he softens all this, the mud, and completely makes soft. And then what happens when he puts the water everywhere in the ground? Then the spring means things start coming from the ground. The grass, the flowers, the corn, the grain, and everything start coming from the ground, and it becomes beautiful. And he says, just like God is crowning this, all these beautiful flowers and the grain and everything, and it looks very good. And everywhere you go, it looks beautiful. Then he says, they drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. So he said, everywhere you go, to the hill, you go to the valley, wherever you go, it's a greenery everywhere. That greenery comes, and then the verse 13, he says, all these animals, like sheep, they come and start grazing on this grass. And when you see from far, it looks like a carpet, like all wool everywhere. And so he said, all these flocks, when they're eating grass and everything, so when you see, you don't see any land. He said, all these clothes like flocks covering the valley, looks like a carpet, looks like cover with the sheep and goats. And he says, not only that, God covers all these corns and all these fruits and vegetables, everything coming out. And the people shout for joy and start singing. And that's the way he's explaining when the land is barren, but when God start pouring the rain coming from heaven like a river of God, and they get very glad. So these Jewish people singing these songs in the time of harvest. So the David's psalm, if you go and look at the heading, he says psalms and song. That means this, some of the psalms they read, but these psalms they have to sing. Okay, the chapter finishes there. So we can see, if the people are dry, no blessings, nothing, but when you come to God, God makes you fruitful and joyful. Okay, chapter 66. Read a couple of verses.
Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee.
Now, first of all, he's saying, make joyful noise unto God, not only one person, all the lands. He says, we want all the people making joyful noise. All the people will worship God. And he says, sing for the honor of his name. Make his praises glorious. When you're praising God, just don't mumble or just don't silently say something. Your praise should be glorious and thanking God. Then what he said? He said, when people start doing that, he said, unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Again, he used the word terrible, but he says, how awesome art thou in thy works. You did all the signs and wonders and miracles. And when the enemy sees this, he says, the enemy will submit themselves unto you. So when God does signs and wonders and miracles, the enemy will see what God is, awesome God, is a Jewish people's God. When they came from Egypt, the sea was divided. They came with the dry land, and then they defeated the enemy. And when some of the people saw that, they were so scared. He says, enemy will be submit to you. We have an example. Go to the Joshua chapter 2 and read verses 9 to 11.
She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon, on the other side of Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath.
See exactly what David is saying. When they see the signs and wonders and miracles, all these heathen will submit unto you. And this exactly happened. Rahab saw the signs and wonders and miracles, and she said, our hearts are melted. Our God cannot do this kind of thing. Your God is great. She gave up her religion and believed in Jehovah God. And so David said, this is what's going to happen. Psalm 66, verse 4.
All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name.
Now he said, all the earth will worship you, and they will sing to you, and they will sing into thy name. Now the whole world didn't know the name of Jehovah. The whole world was not evangelized. As I said earlier, only the name of Jesus Christ is greater than any other name. And without the name of Jesus, there is no salvation. And the word of God says, God exalted the name of Jesus above all names, so the whole world can worship him. Read the Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11.
Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
See, God exalted name of Jesus above all names. So the whole world today and even future, they will exalt the name of Jesus Christ and they will worship. All the enemies and everyone will come and worship our God. Let's go back to the chapter 66, verse 5.
Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There do we rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves.
Now here is again saying what God has done. He says, let me tell you the works of God. He said, our God is so awesome, and he is doing so many miracles among the children of God. And he says, turn the sea into the dry land. He's talking about how Israeli people came, and they went through the flood on the foot and were rejoicing in him. So what he's trying to say, it happened twice. They went to the Red Sea on the dry land. Time of Joshua, the Jordan River also was divided, and they went on the dry land. And so he said, when it happened, people were rejoicing and they were singing. Let's read the Exodus chapter 15. We have to read for verses 1 to 20, but we don't have time. We can read 15, verse 1 or 2, and then last verse 21.
Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider have he thrown into the sea.
Now, we don't have to read all these things, but chapter 15, verses 1 to 21, the Moses song, they were singing and praising God and saying what God has done. And the verse 21, Miriam started also singing and praising God. Please read.
And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea.
So see, he's saying, because of this miracle, people were singing and praising God, and it happened. And then he says, he ruled by his power forever. Our God is the ruler, He is the king, and He is going to rule whole world forever. His eyes behold the nations, let not rebellious exalt themselves. He says He doesn't want any person doing rebellious again, because our God is a great God. Even the time, we will be learning a little bit more, even the time of the millennium kingdom, even though there is a peaceful kingdom, but He will not allow any person to rebel against Him. Verse 8, please read.
Bless our God, you people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard.
Now, what he's saying, bless our God, you people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard. He says, if you're praising God, praise from your own heart and own mouth, and not to be shy, not to be embarrassed, but put your whole force and sing and praise God. But I'll give you a couple of examples. Go to the book of Ezra, chapter 3, and read verses 10 to 13, but we'll just read 10 and then 13.
When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they sent the priests and their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. So that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off.
See, the noise was heard far off. David said, you sing so the people can hear. So these people were praising God. The temple foundation was built, so they were so happy. They were singing and praising God. The noise went abroad far away, and people didn't know these people are crying or weeping or singing or what they're doing, because some people are joyful and they cry, and some people weep, and some people shout. And so that's what the praises of God was heard far away. That is in the Old Testament. And the New Testament, Acts chapter 2, verses 4 to 6, if you read, when the Holy Spirit came, these people were filled with the power of God, start praising God, and many, many people heard it from far, and all the people came to see what is this happening. And Acts chapter 4, verse 31, please read.
When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness.
See, when they're praising God, glorifying God, whole buildings was shaken. So that's the kind of praise David said you should be doing. Let the praise of God you do, and it should be heard. I say, let's praise the Lord, and some people say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I say, let's praise the Lord. Open your mouth and filled with the joy and praise God, not to be ashamed, praising God. Okay, now, verse 9.
Which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved.
Now he said, he holdeth our soul in life. That means God is the only one gives life to our life, to our soul, means our body or our being. Without God, there is no life. So God gives his life to us, and he suffereth not feet to be moved. That means God is so powerful, he gives you life, and he gives you power, and then he will not allow you, any person, any enemy, to push you around. Verse 10.
For thou, God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us, as silver is tried.
Read up to 12.
Thou broughtest us into the net, thou laidest upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place.
Now here it looks like he's complaining to God. He says, you has provided us, that means you tried us as a silver and gold. That means you put us in the fiery furnace and you tried us and you wanted to find out how far we can stand for God. and it, you did it. But he's not saying why you did it. He said, you did that, and then he says, you brought us into the net, means we were prisoners sometimes, and we were afflicted, and people give us hard time, and the verse truly says, thou hast caused men to ride over our head. We went through the fire and through the water, but you brought us into the wealthy place. Since all this fiery trial, we were in Egypt, we had all kinds of problems, those people gave us a problem, we had a suffering and everything, but when I'm looking back, everything happened for good, and you tried us with the fire, but it was for our good. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it says, God gives us a fiery trial and makes us more pure. Please read.
Let the trial of your faith be much more precious than gold that perisheth, though be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
See, it makes us ready for the Christ to come when you go to suffering, the trials and tribulations, and we get more stronger, more pure, and we get more ready for soon coming of Jesus Christ. So here the psalmist says, you did this. You took us the fiery trial. You put us in the fiery furnace. And you put us in the net. You put us in affliction. And you caused everything, these people riding over our head. And we were going through this water and fire. But thou brought us out into the wealthy place. Now we are rich. We are having everything. All the suffering is gone. Just like Isaiah 43 says, you went through the water with the fire, but they were not drowned. God protected them. And now he says, we are coming with a wealthy place. He gave the riches of these enemies. He gave their land. He gave their money, everything. And the enemy were defeated. And now he says, we are in the wealthy and healthy place. Okay, go back to our chapter 66, verses 13, 14, and 15.
I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatness with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats.
Now he is saying, I'm going to go to the house of God. And I'll pray to God and fulfill my promises I made. Means free will offering I'll give it to the Lord. And he says, I made the vows with my lips and my mouth, and I am going to fulfill that to God. And then it's with verse 15, he says, I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifice, the fatlings, with the incense of ram, and I will offer bullocks and goats. Now he is saying, thanksgiving offering, I promise to God, and I'm going to fulfill my promises. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to see, he says, rams, bulls, and goats. Not one, many. And he says, incense of ram, means he says, when the ram with the fat, I'm going to give burnt offering. That means the sweet aroma will go to God and God will be well pleased. So he said, that's what I'm going to do. And so he's spending hundreds and thousands of dollars bringing the rams and the bulls and goats. And he's saying, nobody told me. I'm doing willingly. I promise God and this is my sacrifice. And this sacrifice is called burnt sacrifice. The burnt sacrifice means you don't get anything. You just burn everything to ashes. So it's not like you give sacrifice and remaining meat, you'll get it and you enjoy. He said, I'm going to give it to God, burnt sacrifice. And God will have the aroma coming from this and God will be pleased. But thank God, we don't have to do all of these things. Jesus Christ came and he became a sacrificial lamb and he sacrificed his life, and there was a sweet aroma came. Let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2.
And welcome, love, that also has loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor.
A sweet smelling savor, but in New King James, it's a sweet aroma. When Jesus Christ gave his life, sacrificed his life, the sweet aroma came and God was well pleased. Here he says, I'm going to please God with a sweet aroma, sweet smell, and God will be pleased. But Jesus Christ, when he gave his life, sacrificed his life, sweet aroma came. And what happened from that day until today? No sacrifice. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51, if you read, it says, when he gave his life, if you have to read 50 and 51, when Jesus died, that's the time the veil was torn from top to bottom. Please read.
Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the prison rent in twain, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent.
See, the day Jesus died, the veil, the curtain between most holy place and holy place was torn from top to bottom. What does it mean? The holy place, the priest will be there. Most holy place, the Aaron will be going, high priest. Other person cannot go because there was a veil in between. But now the veil is torn from top to bottom. Now the most holy place is open. Now anyone can come to God. So what happened from that day until today? Sacrifice stopped. Even the Jewish people doing their rituals, but no blood. So Jesus Christ shed his blood once and for all and give the sacrifice. God smelled the aroma and God was well pleased. So we don't have to do all of those things. And verse 16.
Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul.
Now he's saying to the people, people, come here, come near, come to God, and I will declare what God has done for my soul. Means he wants to testify. He wants to tell the people what God has done. So when God hears your prayer, and God does some miracle for you, and God supplies your need, don't keep it quiet. Tell somebody what God has done. He said, I want to tell you what God has done for me. And read Psalm 40, verse 5.
Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than to be numbered.
So he said, come and listen what God has done. And in this chapter he said, God did so miracles, signs and wonders and miracles. I cannot even number them. I cannot even put together. If I start doing this, it's more than numbers. So same way, God is doing signs and wonders and miracles for you every day. Somebody say, oh, he didn't do anything for me. Are you alive? Yes. So many people died in the sleep, but you are alive. That's a miracle. That's the God's blessing. We should be thankful before you put your foot on the floor. You say, thank you, Lord, you gave me life. And I'm going to live for you. And start praying and reading the Bible and start your day before you can eat your breakfast. He says, come people, and I will declare what God has done for me. And then he said, I cannot even tell you how many things he's done for me. Okay, verse 17, 17 to 20, you can read.
With my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me, he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me.
Now, if you remember, other chapter we were reading, the 65th chapter, he says the sin is overpowering me. But here he says, you know, Lord, there is no sin in me. So there is no iniquity in me. When I'm going to pray or I'm going to do something, you're going to hear my prayer. And he says, blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So he says, my God is merciful, and I don't have any sin in me. What happened? Because he did sacrifices, he did burnt offering, and he's saying, now my heart is clear, because I'm telling other people what God has done. So I'm exalting the name of God with my tongue. I am praising God. I'm glorifying God. God has heard my prayer because he's so merciful and he has heard my prayer with his mercy. So now, as I said, God answers the prayer, the people who earnestly pray to God. But if you, your heart is condemning you, and if you are in sin, God will never listen to your prayer. But if you humble yourself, confess your sins, then God will have mercy. He says, verse 20, he says, blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, not his mercy from me. So he said, God heard my prayer. God is so merciful. Why it happened? Let's read the Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13.
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
So he says, I did not cover my sin. There is no guile, there is no sin in me. I sacrifice burnt offering, and I praise God, so my heart is clear. So the word of God says, if you confess your sins, then forsake. Don't say, oh Lord, I'm sorry, I did something wrong. And second minute, you do the same thing. I gave you this example one time. One person stole the chicken, go to the priest, and he says, I have stolen somebody's chicken, what should I do? He said, okay, give $10 to God. So he said, okay, then God will forgive you. He said, here's a $20. Says, why? I'm going to go and steal another chicken. So see, this is what the God says. If you confess your sin, you forsake. Don't say, I confess my sins and go and do it again. Because some people thinking that's a business. But here he says, I confess my sins and I forsake my sins. Then God's mercy will come. Here he says, blessed be the God hath not turned away my prayers, nor his mercy from me. Why? Because he says, my heart is clear. I did sacrifice. I praise God. I give testimony. I tell people how God is good to me. So our God is so merciful. Let's read the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4.
For his great love, wherewith he loved us.
Now see, our God, who is rich in mercy, is not only merciful, but his mercies are rich. Our God is a rich God. And when he does mercy, he does with his richness. We don't have time. You have to read the whole chapter. We got saved by his grace and by his mercy. So our God is a merciful God. Our God is a rich in mercy. David experienced God's mercy with a sacrifice. But we got mercy by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are much more blessed than David. Okay, the last chapter. We have a few minutes and we are going to finish this. 67th chapter. Read verse 1.
God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us.
Now he said, God be merciful unto us. He wants God's mercy and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. That was their prayer. Let's read the Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 27. This is the blessing the priest is to give to the Old Testament people.
then we'll bless thee and keep thee. Lord, make his fine shine upon us and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And thee shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
This is the blessing the Old Testament people were giving. So he's saying, blesses and cause his face to shine upon us and blesses. Verse 2.
That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations.
Now he says, thy ways may be known unto earth, means whole earth. And thy saving health may all nations. Your salvation, people should know, and your healing power, saving power, and people should know, not one, but all the nations. He says, that thy way may be known unto earth. Thy way. Whose way? God's way. Now, how the people will know the God's way? In those days, even that today, many people do not know who God is. St. John chapter 1, verse 18, he says, no one knows who God was. But Jesus Christ, who was in the bosom of the Father, he revealed us who God is. And so we don't know the way to God. Let's read this, John chapter 14, verse 6.
I said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Now Jesus Christ boldly saying, I am the way. Jesus Christ didn't say, I am the one of the ways to go to God. Because today the Muslims, the Hindus, and Buddhists, they have their own way to go to God. And when you are a Hindu friend, a Muslim friend, a Jewish friend, you have no courage to tell what Jesus said. Many pastors I saw, when somebody interviewed them and they asked them, do you think all the Hindus and Muslims, they will go to hell because you say there is only one way? And then, oh, knowing God knows, and God will do what he can, but I cannot tell you. Here the word of God is saying very truly, I am the way. So we have to tell the people, Jesus is the only way to go to heaven. There is no other way. And he says, I am the truth. There is no other truth. Devil is a liar. And he says, all the people, they'll come to me through me to go to Father. If you want to go to Father, you have to know Jesus. The Word of God says, if you don't know Jesus, you cannot understand the Father. So Jesus is saying, come through me. So he says, they will know the way. What way? They are knowing the way of Jesus Christ. And when they know the Jesus Christ, they will get saved, they will get healed, not one, but all the nations. And verse 3 and 4.
Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee.
Now he says, let the people praise thee, O Lord, and all the people will praise. We will take that repeat it, but let's see the verse 4.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth.
Now he says, let the all nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Only God sends Jesus Christ as the judge and the king. And the Jesus kingdom will be the righteous kingdom. Read the Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9 to 11.
The Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Ramah, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gates, from the tower of Hananiel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited.
So here the word of God is saying, Jesus Christ will the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all the people he will be ruling. Isaiah 9:6, please.
For unto us the child is born, unto us the son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
The Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the only one king will rule the people with the peace. And his kingdom will be peaceful kingdom for 1,000 years. Okay, verse 5. Go back. Psalm 67, verse 5.
Blessed be, O God, let all the people praise thee.
Here again, he said it in third, and he's saying in the fifth again, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. So, God's people are going to praise him. We're going to read a couple of verses how people are going to praise. Psalm 148, verses 1 to 14. But we don't have time. Let's read verse 1 to 5.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him and all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created.
I said 1 to 14, but we read only 1 to 5. The psalmist is saying everyone should be praising God on earth and heaven. Revelation chapter 5, verse 13, please read.
And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever.
All the creatures in heaven and earth, they are going to praise the Lord. That's why he said, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. And it's going to happen, it's happening, and our God will be praised. Verse 6.
Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, own God, shall bless us.
Then say, when the people start praising God, when in the millennium, everyone is praising God, and he says, then shall the earth yield her increase. What happened? When Adam committed sin, the curse came. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, if you read, the curse came. Then Cain committed sin, and more curse came. Genesis chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. All the curses came because of sin. So the earth was not yielding her full strength, and we were not getting full benefit from the earth. But Jesus Christ came, and he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, the curse of the law means that there is a curses are given in the book of Deuteronomy. If you're reading verses 14, verse 15 onwards, a very big chapter. All the curses are given. But the word of God says, Jesus Christ says, the Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, please read.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
All the curse Jesus Christ took, and now we are free from the curse. But the whole earth is still groaning. Romans chapter 8, verse 22.
For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now.
We are already redeemed from the curse, but our body is not redeemed yet. When Jesus Christ comes, then our body will be transformed. Then there is no sickness, no pain, no suffering. But until then, we have suffering in our body. In the millennium, all the curse will be gone, and the people will have lots of blessings, no curse, and all the trees and flowers and fruit will be. Hear the word of God is saying, and God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. When the God's blessing comes to the children of God, other people will say, wow, these people got blessed. We should be blessed. So here he's saying, in the millennium, the people will be blessed, the peaceful kingdom will be there. But if anyone does not fear God, those people will be punished. I want to read a couple of verses. Book of Zechariah, chapter 14, verses 16 to 19. Even the millennium, if the people break the law and do not come to worship the Lord, they will be punished. Go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verse 12 and verse 18. People who do not obey God, they will be cursed, they will be punished. But they say, God's walls will be like salvation and His gates will be praised. Means, everywhere in millennium, wherever you go, people will be praising, thanking, and glorifying God. So he is saying, this is what's happened when the people are blessed in the ends of the earth, but the other people will see that blessings and they will fear. So if you are a child of God, and if you live a glorious life, and you got blessing after blessing after blessing, and some people are going to say, hey, why you are so much blessed? Why so you happy? Why you joyful? Tell them, because I'm born again child of God, and God has blessed me, so the other people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the chapter finishes here, and we are going to pray.